the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Monday, December the 11th, 2023. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Monday, let's do the Monday march back to work. Even though you hate the idea of it, just straighten up your backbone, put a smile on your face, so that everybody will wonder what you've been up to. That's always fun. Well, let's get things started the right way with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says, an educational system isn't worth a great deal if it teaches young people how to make a living, but doesn't teach them how to make a life. Frankly, that's what parents are for.
Get used to disappointment.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast. Here we go.
Twisted history. Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Big stuff.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
All righty.
You might be quizzed.
I'm ready. Throw me your best stuff. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1816, Indiana became the 19th U.S. state. And no one knows why. And on this day in 1941, try to keep up with this. Germany and Italy declared war on the United States following the Americans' declaration of war on the Empire of Japan in the wake of the attack on Pearl Harbor. Well, the United States, in turn, declared war on them, thus making this truly a world war. And to cap things off, Poland, which was occupied by the Nazi Germans at the time, declared war on Japan. Boy, talk about chutzpah.
Alert the troops.
First of all, I want to start off by saying that when I say X, when I refer to the entity known as X, it was what is formerly known as Twitter, right? Okay, can we establish that? Because every time I use that letter X, I don't want to have to say formerly known as Twitter. We agreed? Okay, let's do this. Very interesting thing is happening right in front of our very eyes and ears, my friend. Elon Musk is in the process of restoring Alex Jones' account to X. Now, it's no secret that the left has pretty much trashed Elon Musk for his freewheeling dictates at X. But he is substantiating this by holding polls. So just like he did with Donald Trump, he published a poll on X, reinstate Alex Jones on this platform, ? Well, the latest poll showed that 70.1% of X account holders, current X account holders, see, I just hate that name X. I wish he had just left it as Twitter. But anyhow, 70.1% of X account holders say yes. 29.1% said no. Now, is there any doubt in your mind that the left is outnumbered by those of us on the right? They're outnumbered by a great deal, and yet they have more power than you and I do. Go figure. So what he did, I love the way he published it. He said, reinstate Alex Jones on this platform, vox populi, vox dei, which is a Latin phrase. And it translates to the voice of the people is the voice of God. And this saying emphasizes the importance of the public opinion or the people's will in decision-making processes. And it suggests that the collective opinion of the masses holds significant weight and should be respected as if it were a divine command. But you know, and I know, that we have less power than the left, which makes up a much smaller percentage of the American people. You look at the blue states versus the red states, and red states far outnumber blue states, but yet blue policies, leftist policies, seem to take hold. And that's because there is so much leftist policymaking and so much leftism concentrated in our large cities. I love what happened up in Dallas. Democrat mayor just switched to the Republican Party, and his official statement was very simple. He said, we need more Republicans in our large cities. We need more Republican mayors in our large cities. And he's right. Now, he really enraged a few people in Dallas, but by and large, Dallas just is taking it in stride. And Dallas is only going to get better. It's a great city. I mean, it wouldn't bother me to live in Dallas. I just prefer Houston. And hopefully, Houston is going to improve because a conservative Democrat won the runoff. John Whitmire beat Sheila Jackson Lee. Thank God. I was sitting on the edge of my seat because I may be moving back to Houston here after the first of the year. So, because I have a divorce coming. And we're going to sell the house out here in Sugar Land. And I'm probably not going to stay in Sugar Land. I'm going to move down to the other side of town, the other side of Houston, Clear Lake City area by the Space Center, where my daughter lives. My daughter and granddaughter are there. And, you know, I don't want to have to live in a city run by Sheila Jackson Lee. It's bad enough that they're having to grapple with the corruption in the commissioner's court over there at Harris County. So, let's get back to Alex Jones. Alex Jones, it was said that he was thrown off of then Twitter because of comments that he made about Sandy Hook. But the reality is that is not why he was banned. He was banned for attacking a smarmy little weaselly CNN reporter who was busy about the task, along with help from Brian Stelter, that guy with that... ooh, that creepy grin. Those two were spreading lies about Trump and lies about Alex Jones. And basically, it was a conflict of personalities. So Alex Jones took a camera crew with him to attack this reporter. I forgot what the guy's name was. But it was quite a confrontation in the halls there in Washington, in the Capitol building. But this weaselly reporter, this guy at CNN, had no way to come back on against Alex Jones because Alex, love him or hate him, his opinions are very well set in his brain. And when he starts to rant against you, Katie bar the door, you're not going to win against him. Now, I'm not a great fan of Alex Jones because I think he's a little too bombastic for me, but hey, he is who he is. So there you have it. Elon Musk is in the process right now of reinstating Alex Jones' account. And Mick Farthing, writing at the PJ Newsletter, said it's no secret that many people have turned on Elon Musk after he bought Twitter. Most of them appear to be liberals who are outraged that Musk supports free speech online. And that little paragraph right there is a wonderful microcosm of what's going on here in our culture wars. We have to keep, you know, what is it they say? Keep your friends close, but your enemies even closer. We have to keep the left very close to us. We have to keep our eye on them constantly. Because the left is anti-First Amendment. They're anti-Second Amendment as well. And they're anti-Fourth Amendment. I think we proved that the other day with that story I did about, you know, the, what is it, Transportation Department. The National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, and how they want to encroach on your privacy in your automobile. And they fully intend to carry this out. We cannot afford another Democrat president. We can't. Another Democrat administration, be it Joe Biden or anybody else, it could be Gavin Newsom or any other damn Democrat, another Democrat in the White House for another 4 years will truly destroy this country. Now, they're always the ones pointing our fingers at us and saying, well, that the Republicans, the MAGA, which is nothing more than Make America Great Again. MAGA is an endangerment to democracy. Really? No. The real danger to our democracy is stuff like what the NTSB wants to do. They want to govern not only safe driving, but they want to limit your speed. Now, these Hollywood stars always talk about how they're going to leave the country. Oh, if Donald Trump gets reelected, we're going to leave the country. We're going to leave the country. Please leave the country and take all your disciples with you so that we can have our free country back again. Because if they're going to start pulling this crap, and I don't have that many years to live anymore, for crying out loud, I'm an old man. But I don't want to live out the rest of my years in an oppressive regime. I don't think you do either. Jack Davis, writing in the Western Journal, says former Speaker Kevin McCarthy's not getting a lot of sympathy from some people in his hometown of Bakersfield, California, as he prepares to quit Congress a year before the end of his term. Now, McCarthy became Speaker after a lengthy series of votes back in January. You remember that. That was a real circus. And was forced out by House Republicans in early October. It was an ugly scene. It really was. Now, on Wednesday, he announced he was going to leave Congress at the end of the month. And in an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, he wrote, quote, "I have decided to depart the House at the end of this year to serve America in new ways. I know my work is only getting started. I will continue to recruit our country's best and brightest to run for elected office. The Republican Party is expanding every day, and I'm committed to lending my experience to support the next generation of leaders." Now, what does that really translate into in reality talk? Your guess is as good as mine. But I would think he's got to draw a paycheck somewhere. Isn't he a lawyer by trade? Well, I'm sure he'll do well. But back home, the news was greeted with something not quite resembling support. And a fellow by the name of Greg Perone, president of the Greater Bakersfield Republican Assembly, said, "If you went through the ringer he went through, I suspect there's a little humiliation, a little embarrassment. Maybe he's licking his wounds and wants to go off into the sunset. Still, I'm a little disappointed that he didn't finish the term that he was elected to serve. That's not what we expect from our elected leaders." There you go. Good statement. And it wasn't quite as cold as the reaction posted to X by Matt Gaetz of Florida, who just he just posted one word, McLeaven. But the pages of the local newspaper carried some messages that were hardly in the spirit of fond farewells. Love this. Raymond Hedrick of Bakersfield wrote in the Bakersfield Californian, "So long, Kevin McCarthy. Don't let the door hit you on the way out." So Kevin McCarthy's quit his job to serve America in new ways. Barbara Stewart of Bakersfield snarked in a letter to the editor to the newspaper. Oh, she was good. She wrote, "Theoretically, Kevin was elected to represent his constituents here. Theoretically, he was not elected to raise money for Republicans to run in other districts. He was not elected to become Speaker of the House. Theoretically, he was elected to represent the people in his district in California. His quitting the job..." Oh, this lady went on a rant. She continued, "His quitting the job he was elected to do tells you everything about what was important to him and what he saw as his job. It was never about anything but his personal ambition. He achieved that, becoming briefly the Speaker of the House, but now can't face the job he was actually elected to do, quitting midterm. Poor Kevin. He might have spent his last year actually trying to accomplish getting some legislation passed that helped his constituents. Might have, but has chosen to quit. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, Kevin. You haven't represented us in a very long time." And then people wonder why Californians keep voting Democrat. Well, this kind of, this kind of attitude on the part, and you see this a lot from Californians in particular. They seem to be more concerned about their own personal well-being than they are the well-being of their constituents. And California people have it rough. It's not the most expensive state in the country to live. That's New York. But they're really close behind it. And businesses are leaving California in droves. Just for grins, one day, call U-Haul and ask what it costs to rent a trailer to move from anywhere in the United States to California. I mean, it's just, you can almost move to California with a U-Haul for free, because everybody is taking all the U-Haul trailers in California and using them to move out. I mean, it's amazing. They may even pay you to bring a trailer into California. That's how bad it is. The exodus out of California is huge, and it's going to continue for the foreseeable future. And it's because of people like Kevin McCarthy. I don't dislike McCarthy, but I have to agree with that letter writer, Barbara Stewart. She was right on the money. But, you know, she was attacking Kevin McCarthy, rightfully so. But, man, I can think of several other Republicans in California who have that same attitude. It's a shame. Chris Powell, writing in TrendingPoliticsNews.com, says that Tucker Carlson reportedly made some intriguing comments at the American Principles Project Foundation's annual Christmas gala this week. Well, it was last week. Amidst swirling rumors and a report suggesting Melania's interest in him as a potential vice presidential candidate. And Carlson's response was both humorous and telling. I love listening to Carlson. The guy is just absolutely brilliant. Said that he would consider the role, but it would take nothing short of divine intervention, saying, God would have to yell at me very loud for him to take the VP slot alongside Donald Trump in the 2024 election. Now, Carlson's remarks come in the wake of widespread speculation about his political ambitions. However, while he's been coy on a lot of this stuff, he's consistently shown a lack of interest in transitioning from his established career, which is an excellent career, an admirable career as a media pundit, to a political figure. I mean, he's in a winning role right now. So during the gala, he humorously likened the potential shift to going from a well-paid street corner schizophrenic to, like, a politician. So he says, I have no interest in that. He says that the mindset behind that is that he just thinks he needs to stay in his lane. But in a recent interview with Roseanne Barr, he disclosed his staunch support for Trump, especially in the light of the 2022 Mar-a-Lago raid. And I think he also reinforced his sentiments. I don't know. Maybe you didn't get that from this, but I did. But kind of reinforced his sentiments about staying where he is.
Do you think? I certainly support Trump, I'll tell you that. And I can tell you, I mean, I've always agreed with Trump's policies, always. And I lost friends over it. And I've never really actively supported anybody, because it's not my job to actively support people. Right. I watch, you know, right. I like to watch. but I'm a voyeur.
Yeah.
But I became an active Trump supporter when they raided Mar-a-Lago last summer, the summer of 2022. That can't stand.
No, that can't.
And
that was something.
I agree with Trump on a lot. But even if I disagreed with Trump on a lot, I'd still be a Trump supporter, because you cannot allow that. You cannot allow the regime, the president of the United States, to use the Justice Department to knock the front runner out of the race. You can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
So it's bigger than Trump. It's bigger than Biden. It's a question of, you know, do you want to live in a free country with a functioning justice system? You know,
that's exactly.
And
right.
So I'm voting for Trump. And if they convict him, I will send him the max donations and I will lead protests. That's how I feel.
That's how I feel.
Because,
too.
And by the way, if I thought that he had committed some real crime, I wouldn't feel that way, but he didn't. He and Biden are both found with classified documents at home, along with every other former high-level federal official in history, but only Trump is indicted? Like, tell me how that works. Oh, shut up.
Yeah. I don't know. It's disgusting, really, what's happening to our country these days. And it's very clear that people like Roseanne Barr, for instance, and Tucker Carlson 20 years ago would have been considered to be liberals. And today's liberals are gravitating toward the conservative side of politics. I won't say gravitating toward the Republican Party, because, quite frankly, the Republican Party is not giving us a whole lot to admire. Not when you have, what was it, 19 Republicans who voted in favor of this whack job law about a kill switch in your cars starting in 2026, all new cars having a kill switch. I know, it sounds like I'm I've got a one-track mind. But the thing is, if they approve this, if that becomes law, what other ways will government then force itself on our lives? Because if that's approved, if that gets through, not just the kill switch, but the speed limiting thing as well, if that goes through, that's just going to embolden government in its power grab. My God. Now, Axios reported that Melania Trump's been strongly encouraging Donald to consider Carlson for the role of his VP. The addition of Carlson may also ramp up Melania's appearances on the campaign trail, at least in the minds of those people at Axios. I don't know. But Axios said that those under vice presidential consideration include J.D. Vance of Ohio. I don't know that he's got the experience for it, but he is a brilliant mind. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she'd be good. Arizona Senate candidate Carrie Lake and South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, she would be good. Two others have also made the short list. Byron Donalds of Florida, who would be excellent. You know, he was appearing with Trump on the campaign trail, and then you got MTG of Georgia. And the reason people hate MTG is because she is an outsider. I mentioned that the other day. What was it, Thursday or Friday? I mentioned that. So don't misunderstand the hatred for MTG. She is hated because she is an outsider and she definitely speaks the truth. Now, in November, Trump stirred the pot by expressing his openness to considering Carlson. And during a conversation on the Clay Travis Buck Sexton show, Trump responded to the suggestion stating, "I like Tucker a lot. I guess I would consider him. He's got great common sense." And that's the one thing that really rattles the left, the extreme left. Anything resembling common sense, they are afraid of that. And while discussing the bold idea, Trump reflected back on his decision to do an interview with Carlson during the first Republican debate, a move that resulted in record-breaking viewership figures. Trump cited the ratings as evidence of the powerful draw of conservative media voices like Carlson's. Hosted on Carlson's show, Debate Night with Donald J. Trump garnered a staggering 212.3 million impressions. Now, it's impressions, okay? That doesn't mean they stayed around and watched the whole thing. But to put this into perspective, when Fox News broke the debate ratings record back in 2015, largely attributed to Trump's participation, the event peaked at 24 million viewers. Big difference there. For the life of me, I can't figure out how it is Karine Jean-Pierre still has her job in the White House. She was once again fact-checked by X's Community Notes feature, which is really cool because it allows users to fact-check claims in real time. Other users are then allowed to rate the notes as helpful or unhelpful, representing a massive deviation from the way partisan leftist fact-checkers operate. And Jean-Pierre wrote in an X post on Friday afternoon, "Today we got more good economic news. 199,000 jobs created last month. That's Bidenomics in action. A total of 14.1 million jobs created under President Biden." Well, before long, she was hit with a community note that pointed out how the vast majority of jobs created, and that's in quotes, under President Biden, have been people returning to work after government-mandated COVID shutdowns. And it says here, "It is well documented that nearly 72% of job gains since 2021 are simply jobs recovered that were lost during the pandemic, not created." And that's the community note, which linked to House budget figures that contradict KJP's claim. Now, in addition to taking credit for COVID-related returns to work, the administration's been accused of vastly misrepresenting jobs reports by a number of leading economists. E.J. Antoni, an economist with the Heritage Foundation, poked holes in September's jobs report that was also talked up by the administration. You'll see Antoni periodically on the Fox News channel. Very good. So Antoni wrote, Quote, September non-farm payrolls jump 336,000. Unemployment rate flat at 3.8%. Labor force participation rate remains depressed at 62.8%. Those not in the labor force rose to roughly 5 million more than pre-pandemic. This is artificially pushing down unemployment rate. When adjusting for true labor participation rate, Antoni pegged the actual unemployment rate between 6.3 and 6.8%. Now, that is not a minor fudging of the numbers. That is major fudging of the numbers. I mean, those people in the administration are blowing all kinds of sunshine up our backsides. And then Antoni also pointed out that roughly 22% of jobs created came from the government. And that is an unsustainable increase. And he concluded by pointing out that the massive increase in part-time jobs is slowing down wage growth. He says, lastly, the loss of full-time jobs and their replacement with part-time work is helping slow wage growth, which is then negative after adjusting for inflation. Real weekly earnings fell dramatically until June of 22, and have moved sideways since. Well, if it's for EJ Antoni, you can pretty well believe it. This administration, they have been lying to us since day one, and they will never stop. To the Comedy Corner with Brian McKim.
The last 6 months, I've given up sugar, I've given up carbs, I've given up caffeine, I've given up alcohol. In order to save time, I just tell people I've given up. I live in Las Vegas now, lived there for 10 years. Moved there from back east, had to get away from the winters. Winter's not all bad. I made a lot of cash when I was a kid shoveling snow. Yeah, that was nice. Today's parents, they don't even let their kids play in the snow, let alone work in the snow. Today's parents don't let their kids out of the house. Today's parents are turning their children into indoor cats. Oh my gosh, Connor got out. Somebody left the back door open. Connor, honey, check the basement. It's getting dark. Got to go back east for a little bit. That was nice. Got to see some friends and relatives. Back there for my niece. My niece's daughter, I guess that would be my grandniece, great niece, whatever. It was her birthday. She turned 12. I didn't know what to get her. I asked my niece, I said, what should I get her? She says, well, she really likes things that make her seem mature. So I got her a hearing aid. It worked. People ask me, what does it take to be a stand-up comic? What do you need? Well, you need a good memory. I have a great memory. I can't remember the last time I forgot something. Wasn't always that way. Well, when I was a kid, I was always losing things, misplacing things. My mother was never any help. She'd say the same thing every time I lost something. Like, for instance, I'd say, Ma, I can't find my baseball glove. She'd say the same thing every time. Well, it didn't just grow legs and walk away. That used to make me angry. How glorious was the day I couldn't find my tadpole. Some of you grew up near water, that's good. Everybody here have access to the internet, say yes.
Yes.
You gotta ask. You cannot assume everyone has access to the internet. There are people in this country who do not have access to the internet. They do exist, I have spoken to them. Both of them. They live in Indiana. They think eBay is pig Latin for bee. Which it is. Perhaps they're sharper than we think. I'm trying to actually stay off the internet these days. It started to make me angry. I started to get into arguments and fights and such, you know. Now when I feel that anger coming on, I just switch gears. I just try to confuse people. You can't be mad when you're confused. One of my favorite things to do is go on Craigslist, that barter section where people trade things. The other day, some guy's on there, he types in, have a large bird cage, what do you have? So I typed in, a large bird.
Get out there and make it a marvelous Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.